Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
We are, as a church across our congregations in the area, we're kind of just jumping into a kind of new series over the next couple of months, and we're going to be focusing around the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? How do you cultivate relationship with the Holy Spirit? And there can be a lot of confusion. There can be a lot of questions around, so who is the Holy Spirit? Is he God? Is he not God? Is he equal to the Father and the Son? And there's so many questions, you know. There are lots of phrases that we use in church, being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And there's a whole number of things we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. But why? Because we want to live in the life and the power of who Jesus is in our lives. And therefore, we want to live in the life and power of the Holy Spirit in us. And let's just take this as an example for a moment. So Mother Teresa, many of you heard her, a Catholic nun who gave her life to serving the poorest of the poor in the slums of Calcutta. She said this: the greatest problem in the world is not actually starvation, it's loneliness. According to a campaign to end loneliness, in 2022, 49% of adults, that's 26 million people in the UK, reported feeling lonely. That's massive amount of people. In John 14, 18, Jesus says this, that without God, that we are orphans, not in a physical sense, but spiritually. And being in God's world without God is like being in a great, if you can put it this way, a great cosmic loneliness. It's like God has created us to know him. He's put us in his world, but yet not to know God is like to live alone in the world that he created for us to know him in. But Jesus said this: I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And in this verse, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And the moment that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we experience him. He comes to live within us. We will never, from that moment, be alone. So there's a lot of misconceptions about who the Holy Spirit is. Some confusion maybe about who the Holy Spirit is. But the enemy, the devil, he does not want us to know who the Holy Spirit is. He wants to bring confusion. He doesn't want us to know that we are not alone, that we have the comforter, we have the counselor within us. He wants to keep us isolated and separated and distant from God. And so the enemy's job, if you like, he constantly lies, undermines. He wants to cause doubt and unbelief, fear. He always points us to ourselves. Look at this, look at that, look at the other, look at your past, look at this. You're not good enough. You're not this, that, and the other. And he constantly focuses on performance. Look at how you're thinking. Look at how you've acted. Look at the way you spoke to that person. Look what you didn't do there. If you did do this, God would love you even more. But because you haven't, he doesn't. And there's this constant bickering that he wants to distance us from God. And so we want to pray that we have a fresh revelation, really, that and the Holy Spirit brings that revelation of who he is in our lives and what it means to know the indwelling life and power of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is God in us. And we're going to pick up on some more of that as we go through the next few weeks. So let's just have a look at one or two misconceptions first, okay? Just some of, in some parts of the church, maybe in, and I'm not talking about just different denominations, but within the church, in different places, there are many Christians who or in many churches, can ignore the Holy Spirit. There can be confusion. So who is the Holy Spirit? Isn't the Holy Spirit, wasn't he for the day back then, 2,000 years ago, but he's not real for now? The gifts of the Spirit, the light, there's so many things that can go around. There's an ignoring. Sometimes that's because there's a strong conversation, a concentration on God the Father and God the Son, but not necessarily on God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes there's a little bit of ignorance that the Holy Spirit is treated as lesser. Well, there's God the Father, where he's God, and then there's Jesus the Son. He's the Son of God. Yeah, he's God, but the Holy Spirit, well, who's that? Or what is it? And sometimes the Holy Spirit is referred to as an it, like he's a thing in some way, rather than he's the third person of the Trinity. He is part of the Godhead. He is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there can be some misunderstanding out there. Many of you have probably heard the phrase Holy Ghost. Now, in the New King James, or the King James, it uses that phrase, the Holy Ghost. And sometimes that's like, what is that? Because a ghost can sound like, man, that's a bit weird, that's strange, that is a bit kind of the dark side or something, if it's a ghost, maybe. Very impersonal sounding. Is this Holy Spirit just a force? But some people are afraid of the Holy Spirit because the way the Holy Spirit is spoken about, it sounds like an it, a force, a ghost, not tangible, not relatable, a little bit strange and weird. Yet the Holy Spirit is a person. The person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of love. And so the Holy Spirit reveals the love of God in us. And when there's that revelation of the love of God, that perfect love drives out all fear. It doesn't say fear, would you mind going? That love drives out all fear. And so sometimes there can be fear around the things of the Spirit. And maybe that's exactly why we need the Holy Spirit. Can a believer live as a believer without the Holy Spirit? And we're going to look at all of that stuff. So who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do in us? Why do we need the Holy Spirit and depend on him? And how do you cultivate relationship? What does that look like? There's even in some parts of the church where there's a resistance to the Holy Spirit. We do not want the Holy Spirit. Maybe because there's fear of what might happen if the Holy Spirit was allowed to do whatever he wanted to do. Maybe people like to be in control. We like to control things. We like to run everything. And so we're not going to give the Holy Spirit the room to do whatever he wants to do because we'll have to trust him. Things will be out of our control in that way. And that's the very thing that God wants in the church, that we are not in control and that the Holy Spirit is in charge, that he's called in the shots. Because the Holy Spirit gets all his instructions from the throne, from the Father, spoken through the Son. And then he speaks them and he reveals the deep things of God to us. And he shows us how to live, how to be, what it means to be the church and what it means to be led and filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to unpack all kinds of stuff so that as a people, individually and together, we're living even more in the life and the power of who the Holy Spirit is in us. So let's have a quick zip through the Bible, okay? Just a quick kind of in a few minutes. Where do we see the Holy Spirit and what kind of things does he do through the Bible, okay? Because many, actually, there's a lot of Christians that think that the Holy Spirit kind of turned up in the New Testament, that suddenly the Spirit of God was on people somewhere in the Old Testament, but the Holy Spirit only really started to work where in the New Testament, where on the day of Pentecost, when he came upon the believers and suddenly, you know, after Jesus had gone up to heaven and said, I'm going to send you, my Father's going to send you clothed with power from on high. He's going to send you the gift that you're going to need. So without realizing, many think that, the Holy Spirit, New Testament thing. Whereas we see right at the beginning of creation, at chapter 1, in the first couple of verses, the Spirit of God is spoken about. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the waters, over this formless, empty, dark earth. Then God spoke, "Let there be light." So God the Father spoke God the Word, and then God the Holy Spirit started creating. So you see the Trinity, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all at work in the first few verses of the Bible. God the Father spoke that when we know God the Son now, when we read John chapter 1, and the Holy Spirit was released to create. And we see that in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh in Jesus and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. So this is John writing, having seen Jesus, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see the Holy Spirit in creation. Then through that, this is a very kind of quick zip through. We see in Exodus 31, for example, there's a guy called Bezalel, okay? It says that he was, that God filled him. These are the words that it says. Didn't just come upon him. It said God filled him with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit of God for artistic designs and craftsmanship. So the Holy Spirit then enabled this guy and others to be craftsmen in gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, in loads of different, there's a creativity to the Holy Spirit, okay? Then we see with Gideon, the Holy Spirit came upon him to enable him to lead the nation at this time. Many others through the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon them to lead the people of Israel. The Holy Spirit came upon David in power to be king. He was anointed to be king. He, various things he did in the power of the Spirit. David and Goliath is another story. Samson, it says that the Spirit came upon him in strength and power. Why? To accomplish the purposes of God in that moment. So there's always a purpose, always a reason why the Holy Spirit came upon people. For the purposes of God to be outworked. Same then, same today. We are not consumers of the Holy Spirit just for our consumption as believers, just to be recipients, to say, yeah, I have the Holy Spirit. So when you're born again, you are born of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is at work when you are saved. When you repent of your sin, you give your life to Jesus, you are then born of the Spirit. But then on the day of Pentecost, they were baptized in the Spirit. So it's a work of the Spirit, your salvation, to be forgiven and to have Jesus come into our lives. But then the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost empowered them. So when we are then baptized in the Spirit, we are empowered then by the Spirit to enable us to live in the life that we have received. Are you there? I know a lot of this is quite 101 stuff. What else in the Old Testament? We sort of jumped a bit there. All the prophets, the major ones, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all the minor prophets, the Spirit of God came upon them, spoke to them, revealed the purposes of God for the day that they were in, to bring the word of the Lord to the people then. But often there were moments where God showed and revealed by his Spirit things to these men and other women also in the Old Testament, showed not just for them, but what was to come. So Daniel, things were revealed to him about the day he was in, dreams and visions to speak to the kings that were leading, you know, and those that he was serving then and working for then. But God also showed him things that were to come, things that are yet still to come. In terms of the return of Jesus and things running up to that. And so the Spirit of God was at work all the way through. Then in Ezekiel 36, we're talking about who the Holy Spirit is today, okay? And that he's a real person. He's been at work since before any of us were around, before creation was around. Because he's God. He always has been, he is, and he always will be. In Ezekiel 36, God speaks to Ezekiel and begins to give him some insight about the cross. It says this in Ezekiel 36, 26, 27. He prophesies that I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Why did God say that? Because the people in and of themselves couldn't keep the laws. They kept blowing it. They kept worshiping other gods. And what God knew is the only way someone's going to be able to walk with me is not just if I'm with them and setting out all the things they need to be living and they're trying to do it in their own strength. But if I come and live in someone, take out the heart of stone, that sinful nature, and put in my nature, my life, my spirit, that's going to then enable people to live in the way that I've called them to. I'm going to give them not only a change of heart, but I'm also going to give them the power, the ability to then out to live that life, to make right choices and to walk in the way that I want them to. Joel 2, 28, 29 says this, I'll pour out my spirit on all people, on all flesh. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy, old men dream, young men have visions, all of the things that are in that verse there. Again, promise of what the Holy Spirit, what he does and what he will do. Jump into the New Testament. There's a lot of Holy Spirit activity around the birth of Jesus. So Mary, an angel visits her, tells her that she's going to become pregnant and that she's going to give birth to the Son of God, to the Savior, to the Messiah. I mean, what would that be like, ladies, if that happened to you? An angel rocked up one day and said, hey, got some news for you. You know, you're going to get pregnant. Well, I'm not even married. It was pretty, in that culture, in that day, it was, wow, okay. But it was the Holy Spirit that put the seed of the life that became Jesus in her womb. So the Holy Spirit was at work there. While she was pregnant, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. When Mary walked into the room, Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, and the baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb. And immediately it says there, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture that talks about John the Baptist, Luke 1:15. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit at birth. Wow, so the Holy Spirit is integral to everything going on around the birth of Jesus, around John the Baptist, around his family. And then John the Baptist says himself during his ministry, look, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come. And his sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament into the New is at work, is being spoken of, being prophesied. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is so integral and so essential to God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And God has brought us into his kingdom. And as kingdom people, if we're going to live and work out God's kingdom purposes on earth, then how much more do we need the Holy Spirit in us and at work in us, filled and leading us and guiding us, because there are his purposes that he wants to work out through your life individually and my life individually, but also through us together as a people. And if, hang on, let's come to this in a moment. Then Jesus, the Holy Spirit came upon him when he was baptized. So John the Baptist baptized him. As he came out of the water, it says the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus like a dove. Okay, it's important. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus like a dove. It wasn't that a dove came out of the sky and sat on his shoulder. There's lots of references in the Bible where people don't know how to exactly describe what they're seeing and what was going on. So they say it was like this. It was kind of like that. When you read the book of Revelation, how many times did John say, well, this is what I saw, and what I saw, well, it was like this, but this is the best way I can try and describe what I'm seeing, because I don't know how to really describe what I'm seeing. It is so of another world. It was like this, and same on the day of Pentecost. They saw the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus, and they said it was like a dove. Now, what does that mean? The way in which the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus was in such a way that if we understand what a dove is like, very, very sensitive to movement, to atmosphere, to different things going on. And doves can off straight because they sense that something changing or a danger or whatever it is. And what they're saying is the Holy Spirit came and rested, came upon Jesus because there was nothing in him that was, there was a sensitivity, there was awareness to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. He got baptized. What happened next? The Holy Spirit, the first thing that happened after him getting baptized, the Holy Spirit then led him into the wilderness. He went in full of the Spirit because he'd just been baptized. And at the end of the prayer and fasting, it says that he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what do we see when we're baptized? We're baptized into the fullness of who we are in Christ. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit does that work to so you're born again. But when you're baptized in the Spirit, which is next week's message, so I shouldn't go too much into that, is the Holy Spirit comes upon you to fill you with his power to enable you to then live the life that you've been born again into. Does that make sense? And so he came out in the power of the Spirit. Why? Because he had a job to do. He had a job to do. He knew, I need you, Holy Spirit, upon me, in me. Because in my humanness, if I don't depend on you and trust you, I'm going to blow it. This is the fully man, yet fully God. But he humbled himself and made himself nothing. So in that, Holy Spirit, I am totally dependent on you. I need to be listening to you. I need to be dependent on you. Can't do anything unless you show me what the Father's doing. And what he's saying, I want to be really. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, depended on, trusted him. Then he's obviously going to go to the cross, resurrected. The Holy Spirit resurrected him. Spends 40 days appearing to different people, the disciples and others. Spends time speaking to them and encouraging them, but then he gives them the Great Commission. So Jesus came to bring the kingdom. And in order for us to have the kingdom, for us to enter in the kingdom, he had to go through the cross to accomplish all of that so that we could be forgiven, cleansed, made right with God, and the way open to know him. He had to be resurrected because he defeated death on the cross. He defeated sin, death, and hell. So death couldn't hold him. Of course he rose from the dead because he'd already defeated everything on the cross. It was just a matter of time and whatever went on in those 3 days, going to visit those who'd lived before to reveal who he was, to give them the opportunity to respond to him that they'd never had before. So he rises from the dead. But what does he say to these guys? He gives them the Great Commission. This is the purpose of kingdom people on earth. Go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's God. It's not just the Father and the Son, but and the Holy Spirit. Then what does he say? Teaching them to obey. How can you teach somebody to obey? You're living that. You're living that out. So you're saying, hey, like often Jesus did, come follow me and I'll make you fish of men. Come and see how I live and then live in the same way. Paul the Apostle said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. As I seek to live in the way Christ lived and wants me to live, watch my life. It's like, that's a challenge, isn't it? For any believer, for any of us, that to disciple others isn't just, I'm going to tell you something. It's watch my life. Come and walk with me. Come, let's walk together. And as you look at my life, my attitudes, motives, relationships, the way I pray, think, talk, act, or whatever it is, and everything, you're going to, that's the way Jesus wants us to. So that's like, wow. And so what happened when Jesus said, after giving the Great Commission, he said, now, before you go and do anything, you're going to be clothed with power from on high. So wait for the gift. So the Holy Spirit is a person, but the Holy Spirit is a gift. The Holy Spirit is not earned. He's not someone that we can earn. If I behave in a certain way and if I'm good enough, I'll get more of the Holy Spirit. No, he's a gift. And when God gives a gift, he gives a gift. He doesn't say, here's a little bit of the Holy Spirit and let's see what you're going to do with him. And if you do what you should do with him, then I'll give you a little bit more. I'll give you a little bit more. It's not like that. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. There was wind, there was fire. It was like he filled the whole place with who he is. He filled them. They were on fire. They couldn't help but then speak in all these tongues and languages. And because of what he was doing, they spilled out onto the street. And everybody was like, what is this? Hearing the praises of God in our own languages. There was this overflowing life because the Holy Spirit can't be contained when he's allowed to do whatever he wants. So what happened when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit? There was new languages. There was a release of power. There was a release of boldness. So what happened when they spilled into the street? Everybody said, so what is this? What is this? And they even, because of the way they were, they're like, are you guys drunk? And Peter stood up, Peter the Apostle, and he stood up and goes, no, look, it's only 9 a.m. We haven't been drinking. This is the Holy Spirit. And then he preaches the gospel. And then what happens? People are so cut to the heart by what he said. Now, who does the cutting to the heart? Holy Spirit, right? So he's preaching the word. He's preaching Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit is taking the word that people are hearing and he's cutting them to the heart with such a conviction that they cry out, what must we do to be saved? What do we do? And what was Peter's reply? Repent of your sin. Believe the good news. Be baptized in water and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll receive the Holy Spirit. Wow. So even in the preaching of the gospel, it wasn't just a salvation message, repent of your sin and give your life to Jesus. It was repent and believe. You need to be baptized in water and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. It was all of those things. That is really what it means to be born again, to give your life to Jesus. Giving your life to Jesus is not just asking him to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of your sin and saying, would you come into my life and be Lord, full stop. We need to preach a gospel to people that is repent, believe, be baptized in water, and then you're going to be empowered to live that life. Because without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to live the Christian life, the kingdom life that God has given us. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit and he was man, but he was also God, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit in us? Wow. What happened on that day when they preached? 3,000 people got saved. That's a work of the Spirit. Got added to who they are. It was the birthing of the early church. And then all the way through the book of Acts, I know in many Bibles just got Acts, isn't it? In some Bibles, Acts of the Apostles in some way. But really, the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the church. Yes, through apostles, but through the church. So really, the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And we see the Holy Spirit at work all the way through the book of Acts. Now, what seems to happen when there's a lot of activity of the Holy Spirit? Salvations, healings, deliverances, people getting set free. there's just the life of God going on. But there's also a lot of opposition, persecution, which is not generally part of our Christianity compared to other parts of the world, where you could be arrested, killed, or whatever for being a believer in Jesus, saying, he's my Lord and Saviour. We have a very comfortable Christian life. Yes, there's some antagonism in our culture and all of that, but it's not really persecution in the way that other people face. We can be lulled into a comfortable Christianity because of the culture we're in. We have a comfortable culture in different ways. Maybe things will change more in our nation. Who knows? But whichever, whether we face incredible persecution and we live in that kind of, or we live in a very comfortable society where, you know, we got 15 different Bibles in our homes, rather than some nations where if they get a page of the Bible, they read it and memorize it because it might be the only bit of the Bible they see. Do you know what I mean? And we're like, so which shall I read? Shall I read the NIV today, or shall I read the Message, or shall I read the Passion Translation, or shall I read the Living? I mean, we just, do you know what I mean? Or I can't remember the last time I read, but it was about 3 weeks ago, wasn't it? And you know what I mean? Because we live in this, just settle down, just be comfortable, don't be too, you know, no. You know, you don't want to upset people because you'll put them off. Wow. When we see the work of the Spirit in the early church, He rumbles everything. They spill out into the streets, thousands get saved. The next thing, there's opposition and persecution. And if you read through the first 8, 9, 10 chapters of the book of Acts, the more it goes on, the stronger the persecution, the more the opposition. It started with words, stop it, settle down, stop preaching that gospel. Then they started getting shoved and grabbed and arrested. Then they started getting beaten. Then they started getting killed. They got locked up in prison then, and then they started getting killed. It was a progression. And it wasn't because they were being antagonistic. They weren't going out like idiots. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, coming out like, you know, that. They were passionate. They were on fire. It was like, hey, Jesus. You know, they were preaching the gospel with love for people, with compassion, seeing people healed and set free. And it was the enemy, which we know ultimately loves to work through people in different ways, was trying to shut them down. And so we see the centrality of the Holy Spirit at work in the believers. Just a couple of minutes just to finish because of time. Well, not even halfway through, yeah? Just to finish with this scripture. In John 14, Jesus speaks a lot about the Holy Spirit, and He's preparing the guys and getting them ready to say, look, I'm going to the cross, guys, and all that I need to go through. And I'm talking to you about the Holy Spirit, the one who's going to come to live in you forever, who will never, ever leave you, will never forsake you. And what does He say here in John 14? Jesus said to them, it's in the context of teaching about the Holy Spirit, and that He's going to the Father and He's not going to be with them. And He says, and I will ask the Father and He will give you another counselor or comforter to be with you forever. Don't you love that? Interesting, isn't it? Jesus could only be in one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. But Jesus in His humanity could only, and what was He saying? He's saying, I'm here to do what the Father has sent me to do, to accomplish the salvation of mankind. Then I'm going to go back to be with the Father, but the Father's going to send you the Comforter. He's going to send you the promise. He's going to send you the gift. He's going to send you what you need to carry on what I've started, to take this kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, to the ends of the earth, whether it's Jerusalem, where you live in your town, to Judea, the nation that you live in, Samaria, other people groups, or to the ends of the earth. And what is He saying here? He says here, the counselor. So what is a counselor in this context? Have you ever poured your heart out to someone who is a fantastic listener? Anybody? Sometimes, you know, when you need a conversation, you just need to pour your heart out or whatever. And sometimes you just need someone to listen. But then they might ask some the right questions, because the Holy Spirit is brilliant at, he listens. He doesn't mind us going, oh, I'm really struggling with this, or what's going on here? Can you sort of, and he'll listen. And you might sense he's asking you a few questions, like you can do if you're in a counselling thing, situation. But also, what's the Holy Spirit doing? He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows how to unpack what's going in you, lead you through what's going on, and then into all that he wants to do in and through each of our lives. He never leaves us where we are. He always works through our lives. He then through to the solution, through to the answer. And so what's the Lord saying here? He's going to be your counselor, the one that is with you, the one that hears everything that's going on in you. But he's going to be your wisdom that you need. He's going to bring you more revelation of who I am. He's going to reveal more of the Father. He's going to show you what is of me and what isn't of me. He's going to show you the way to walk in all that the Father wants to do. He's going to comfort you and counsel you. He'll be with you forever. And then he says this, and then he describes in the next verse, he'll be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So what's Jesus saying there? Jesus is the truth. And so he's saying the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of Jesus. So I'm not going to be living it. I'm going back to the Father. And one of the things I'm going to do before the Father is I'm going to be praying for you. But you're going to, the Holy Spirit is going to be sent. So you're going to be full of the Holy Spirit in you, full of the Spirit of truth, because he's the Spirit of Jesus. He's God, three in one. Then he says this, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And the word comforter, counselor there is paraclete, and it means another of the same kind sent to assist another. So Jesus is saying, I'm not going to be here, but the Holy Spirit's going to be here. He's the same as me. We're one. But he's going to be in you, and he's going to assist you. He's going to lead you. It means to be with, to go before, to be amongst, to be in the sight of, to be beside, to be alongside, to be by forever. Don't you think that's amazing? And just think of this for a moment, because we need to come to a close. The God who created the universe, who in creation spoke the word and the Spirit was released and creation came into being. We have him in here. God in us by his Spirit. Don't you think that's amazing? Father, we just thank you for just revelation today and over these next few weeks, what it really means to know you, Holy Spirit, for you to be in us, your life, your power, the life of Jesus, revealing more of the Father, the fullness of life that we have, the victorious, overcoming life that we have in us, that we're not orphans any longer, we're sons and daughters of the living God, that we're never alone now because you are in us and with us. And in that context, that Jesus is speaking to these guys, saying, I'm going to go and be with the Father, but I'm going to send you the gift, the promise. I'm going to send you my Spirit. He's going to be in you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll be in you forever. In that context, he says to them, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So they were like, Jesus, when you're here, we feel secure, safe, everything, it's like people's lives get changed, stuff happens, it's amazing, and you're not going to be here. What's going to happen? What's it going to be like without you? All of the stuff that was going on. And he says, in the midst of that, peace, I leave with you. Peace, my peace, I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. They lived in a culture that persecuted people. The Roman culture was pretty aggressive. It turns out how they treated people and what went on in that culture. When they were with Jesus, they felt totally like, wow, this guy is in charge. I feel secure. But you're not going to be here. And we live in a world that increasingly is becoming more challenging. And yet in the midst of that, in our world, the challenges and what is going on, everything's shaking, everything's shifting, everything's going to continue going in that direction more and more and more. Jesus says to us, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. The world can't give you what I give because I give you who I am. I don't just give you a thing. The thing of peace, I give you a person of peace. My spirit in you, the spirit of peace. So you can be at peace inside, even though the world is in a storm. You can live in peace. You can operate in peace. You can bring peace. And when Jesus was, his birth was heralded, what did the angels say? They were heralding the coming of the Messiah. And in that heralding, they were saying, peace on earth to all men. Because that peace is salvation. That peace is being made right with God. That peace is Him living in us. That peace is the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. Let's just stand together for a minute, shall we? So we've got, right, sorry, it's 20 to 12. Just wherever you are right now, just talk to the Lord. And if you know Jesus, just thank Him that you have the Holy Spirit in you this morning. Just talk to the Holy Spirit. I thank you that you're in me. Holy Spirit, I want to know you more. Thank you that you are my wisdom. Thank you that you are revelation. Paul says, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you would know Jesus better, so you would know Him better. Maybe just invite, Holy Spirit, I want to know you in a deeper way than I ever have. I want to be sensitive to you, hear your voice, because I want to know Jesus more. I want to know the Father more. God, I want to know you more and deeper than I ever have before. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are in me forever, that I'm not an orphan. I'm not alone because you are my comforter. You are my counselor. You are my friend. Maybe just ask the Holy Spirit, would you take me on a journey over these next few weeks and couple of months? Show me more of who you are. Would you show me, Holy Spirit, where I don't trust you or don't depend on you? Would you show me areas in my life that you want to prune? If there are any areas of life that are really not fruitful, like at the beginning of John 15, would you cut those things off, the things that are not fruitful? But in the midst of that, Holy Spirit, would you teach me how to abide, how to remain in you, in Christ, in the Father. How to abide in you. Holy Spirit, reveal more in the Word. Would you just bring the Word alive to me in a fresh way? Would you bring Jesus alive, the Word, that when I read it, it's like, wow, there's such revelation. There's life in this thing in a fresh way. Holy Spirit, thank you, you bring the Word alive to me. And it's not how many chapters you read. It's what you read and you take time. The Holy Spirit goes, hey, this is what I'm showing you. And it jumps off the page. You get this witness. It's like, whoa, wow, look at that. I've never seen it. You might have read it a lot before, but suddenly jumps off the page. If there's anybody here this morning and you don't know Jesus, and you've been hearing some of this stuff, you've been here this morning, and you think, well, this is a bit different, or I've not heard God spoken about like that before, or wow, I knew I had to come this morning. I want to go to church with my friend or whatever. Just want to encourage you. God knows you. He knows you already in terms of who you are. His heart is for you to know him. In the same way we spoke about Jesus going to the cross to forgive every sin and to open up the way to make it possible for people like you and me to know the living God. He's done that for you. I just want to take a moment, if you want to make a response to him, take a first step towards him this morning, just saying, Jesus, I want to take a step towards you today. I want to respond to your love and your goodness. I don't deserve you because you're the living, holy God. We haven't even got to the Holy Spirit this morning. It's in the name. There's a clue in the name there. Holy Spirit. In and of ourselves, we're not worthy. We're not good enough. We can't reach God. But Jesus came to bridge the gap between us and God. So if you want to at least, you can just take initially just simple response to him. We'd love to chat with you and pray with you afterwards. But you can simply just, it's in your own words, but someone like, Jesus, I'm here. I want to know you. But I realize I need to be forgiven. Would you forgive me for every sin? Everything that I've done that goes against who you are? Ask you, forgive me, that you would cleanse my heart and my life of the dirt and the guilt of sin. And Jesus, I want to take a step to you to give myself to you, give my life to you. And I thank you, as I just say that to you, I thank you, I want you to come and live in me. Father, I just pray for anybody here who's making that kind of response this morning, that you would just work in their heart and life at this moment, helping them to cross over from death to life, as it says in John 5:24. Thank you, Jesus. If there is anybody here this morning and you have responded, or at least that initial first step, and we'd love to help you take next steps in really, what does it really mean to know God, to surrender my life to him? If there is any, can you just pop your hand up quickly so I can see where you are? If there's anybody here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you that you enable us to live in the life and the power of your Spirit every day this week. We want to give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Everybody said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.